Welcome to the Boogie Down Bombers Podcast. A podcast talking all things Yankees and baseball.
Now batting for the Yankees.
Now, here's your hosts, Austin, Tim, and Nick.
No Tim today, it's just Austin and Nick. And welcome back to the Boogie Down Bombers Podcast. I'm Austin Burhill, and along with Nick Giovanelli today. We're going to start with the Yankees, but there's not much with the Yankees.
No, sir.
But one thing that is not a good thing, and that's three of our coaches have been interviewed for managerial spots.
All for the same team.
Red Sox and Tigers are gunning for our guys.
Because they're good, you know?
I don't know much about Carlos Mendoza.
Neither do I, really.
He seems to be a hot commodity. However, I do know Phil Nevins and Marcus Thames. And I don't want either of them to go anywhere. Thames just seems to be loved by everyone, and he is one of the guys Gio Urshela has credited for making him be able to hit in the big leagues. And Phil Nevins is just the guy that seems willing to fight anyone at any time.
It's pretty amazing. I love that guy.
Phil Nevins is great. I mean,
he was the first overall pick the year Jeter got picked, right?
Correct.
That's so funny to me.
One of my favorite stories about that is there was a scout for the Astros, because he got picked by the Astros, and he said, he said, pick Jeter or I'm quitting. And then they picked Phil Nevins. And I don't know if that scout got a job after that. I don't know how much of a genius you could call him, because I mean, he still went the sixth pick. It's not like he was some diamond in the rough. But he was serious about it. But point being, what I really don't think the Yankees need right now is needing to hire a new coach when they don't want to hire a new coach.
Yeah, I think we need to do what we can to figure out a way to keep these guys, because what they're doing is working.
And I don't know what you could do to keep him. Because, I mean, what would you rather be, a bench coach or the manager of another
team? Yeah.
So.
And it's kind of. that's why you get into coaching.
Now, to be honest with you, would I rather be. And I don't know. Let's take money away from it. All right. Let's focus. I mean, I know you can't really take money out of a job position, but let's focus purely on the jobs.
Yeah, look at it objectively.
Would you rather be a hitting coach for the Yankees or a manager for the Tigers? Which is, I mean, hitting coach for a team that expects to win the World Series, or manage the worst team in the league, or one of the worst teams in the league. I mean, Pirates are putting up a fair fight.
But like, if you're the guy that turns around the Tigers, you're a legend.
But you can't turn around the Tigers.
It's just such a small possibility. So I'm going with the team that, you know, as biased as it sounds, I'm going with the Yankees.
But even so, okay, let's take bias out of it. Would you rather be...
I'd rather work with the Yankees.
Would you rather manage the Tigers or be the hitting coach for the Dodgers? I mean, it's kind of the same idea. It's not so much the Yankees as it is the quality of play that you're dealing with. But I don't...
Would you rather work with Cameron Maybin or Aaron Judge? Even though I love Cameron Maybin, but still.
Yeah, Cameron Maybin shouldn't be your best player. I mean, he's I don't think he is.
It's Casey Mize already.
Already? I mean, who else is there? If Miggy's not what
Austin
he used to
Romine.
Be. Miggy's not what he used to be.
Who else do they have?
And they got rid of James McCann. So.
They have Austin Romine. They have Miggy. They have Cameron Maben. Casey Mize.
It's not a great team.
Oh, they have Jonathan Scope.
What has happened to that guy? Ever since he left Baltimore, it's been nothing but trouble.
Wasn't he on the Twins for like a year?
He was with the Twins. He was with the Brewers, I believe. I think he went to the Brewers after the Orioles. Yeah, it hasn't been great post Baltimore.
Oh well, hate to see it.
Him and Manny were really close friends, so. Yep, I don't know. I've never seen a fall off of such a young guy before.
Yeah, he's like not even 30 yet, right?
He's not an old guy. He just forgot.
He's 29. I don't know, man.
Yeah, that's not the age he should be falling off.
He was an all-star 3 years ago.
And since then, it has not been fantastic.
Nope.
He
had a decent year this year. But.
Hey, do you remember Didi Gregorius?
The main man himself, yep.
So, he had an interview. And the Yankees were mentioned, as they're going to be.
They mentioned a lot.
Who did he do this interview with? If you could find that out, let me know.
I'm looking right now.
But so they asked him about the chances of a Yankees reunion.
He was on WFAN.
In which area? Yeah, because there's WFANs all over the place.
Yeah.
But I was...
He was with Moose and Maggie? Who are these people?
I think that's New York. So, I don't listen to the fan. So, Didi... He was asked a lot about the Yankees, which makes me think it's New York. Because I don't... They're in Philly, I think they're asking him if he's going to stay.
Their Twitter location for Moose and Maggie is New York City. So
yes. So, okay. So it's a fan in New York. He says he does not expect a reunion with the Yankees, which, I mean, I think anyone who says it's going to happen is speaking purely from their heart. I don't think there's much logic behind it. But Didi went on to say Gleyber is the future at shortstop. Interesting note, though. He says he doesn't expect a reunion. He doesn't say he doesn't want a reunion.
Yeah, his main thing with coming back to the Yankees is that he doesn't think that the Yankees would want him back. Which kind of hurts. Because the fans would love him.
Oh.
But...
I don't know how you could put it in perspective considering the state the country's in, but let's say fans are allowed back at his first game back as a Yankee. It's Bedlam, isn't it?
It's what?
Bedlam? Like, fans are going crazy for him.
Oh, yeah. He's getting a standing ovation for like a few minutes. Maybe like two or three, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, it'd be great. That's an atmosphere I'd love to be a part of. However, I don't think it'll ever happen. And I think people are a little bit rash with Gleyber.
I saw so many things about trade Gleyber. Get him out of here. His defense sucks. Dude, he had the same amount of errors as Trevor Story. You don't see Rockies fans going, get Trevor Story out of Colorado.
You could have stopped that sentence that you don't see Rockies fans, but yeah, the point being...
the few that there are, they don't want to trade Trevor Story.
And one of the things you see is next year's shortstop class in free agency is absolutely unreal. I think it might be the best I've ever seen a free agent class at one position. I mean, it's Trevor Story, Corey Seager, Carlos Correa, Francisco Lindor.
You didn't have to say that third one.
And Francisco Lindor. It is an unreal...
Javi Baez.
I forgot about Javi. It's an insane shortstop class.
I would love Corey Seager as a Yankee.
Oh, dude.
That would be so sick.
Dude, don't even...
The power-hitting lefty that we won at Yankee Stadium that we didn't get in Bryce Harper.
Yeah, dude. But okay, let's stop pretending because I don't think Labor's leaving.
I don't expect this at all. If we somehow sign Corey Seager, I'd be insanely shocked.
There is some, and here's a point I want to make. You remember last year, and you remember Clint Frazier last year?
Yep.
Remember how awful he was? Defensively, do you also remember?
I think I know where you're going with this.
Do you also remember how much fans wanted to trade him?
Yep, not gonna lie, I was pretty much on that wagon, mainly because the Yankees weren't giving him a chance. But
guess what happened this week?
Tell me, even though I know.
Clint Frazier is a finalist for a Gold Glove,
as he should be.
Go ahead.
I don't know why he got one. I don't know why he got nominated for it. Because he made some nice diving catches, but he just didn't play bad defense. I'm happy for him, and I'm like ecstatic that his defense like drastically improved, but
all right, well,
to nominate him for a Gold Glove, I don't know.
Here's the thing.
Oh.
Should he, like, is he the best option to be the finalist? No, Judge should have got it before Frazier did. However.
Well, Judge has been a finalist, but he hasn't won it yet.
No, but I mean, like, he should have been a finalist this year. However, the fact that he's a finalist means something. Like, the fact that he's even in consideration for
awesome defender
means he can defend well. And he was awful last year. So can we stop acting like Labor's first season in the major leagues at shortstop not being phenomenal is an extreme hindrance?
Yeah, that's another thing. He played second base. He played shortstop for, like, probably less than 20 games in the last 2 years. Why is everyone getting so upset about it?
Yeah, let's give it some time. And the thing is, when people bring up wanting a new shortstop, it's never let's trade Glaber. It's let's move Glaber to second and then put DJ at first. And then we're just getting rid of Voit. Literally the guy who led the league in home runs this year with 1 foot.
Nah, get rid of him. He's done. I don't get it, man.
And I read on Twitter, some guy said this is Voit's peak. Let's trade him now. His peak? He was hurt. How could you be your best you when you have 1 foot?
Voit had 2 great seasons with a hernia and a broken foot.
Can we stop with this? Can we stop with at the end of every season wanting to trade all of our players?
Oh, speaking of that, I saw someone make a great point. I can't remember their handle, but they said, if you think your team is going to make drastic changes based on a 60-game season, you're going to be let down by that expectation. I'm like, yep. The Yankees aren't doing much this offseason. All they need to do is re-sign DJ, maybe bring back Tanaka if they want, and sign another pitcher. That's about it.
Other than DJ, who's the biggest free agent batter?
Oh, wait, they're all on one-year deals. Judge is on a one-year. Gary's on a one-year.
Well, because they're all
Gio's on a one-year.
No, they're still all in arbitration.
Yeah, I know, but maybe lock up Judge.
Well, that's something that's going to come into question soon, is locking up Judge. Gary's not getting a contract right now.
And I think he's getting a low one-year deal.
Gary's going to be a free agent before Judge will be. So, I don't know what happens with that, but that's a different discussion for a different day. Now, unfortunately, I do want to mention one more thing. With the Gold Glove talk, Gio Urshela.
The man himself.
Another finalist. He had a great year defensively. And that's what makes defensive analytics so weird to me. I don't think you could put defense into analytics, to be honest with you. Or at least you can't as clear cut as you can offense, because according to analytics, Gio isn't a great defender.
Well, according to analytics, neither was Jeter.
Yeah, and how many Gold Gloves does Jeter have?
Like six.
And how? And Gio.
Maybe.
I think he has five. I can't.
Jeter's got five.
I can't. I don't think you could win five Gold Gloves by accident.
Yeah, like you obviously must not be bad.
Same thing with Gio. I mean,
what's he doesn't Gio's have five fielding numbers?
But he's a Gold Glove finalist now, and there's a chance he might win it. I mean,
he should.
Because remember, it's this year. We're not saying he's the best defensive third baseman, but
he was
this
the best
year,
defensive third baseman this year, mostly because Matt Chapman was out. But let's not talk about that.
Hell, I will take it to get Gio.
Yeah, me too.
A Gold Glove, I will take it. But this brings up discussions that I want to talk about. Is there any more awards that players complain about more than the Gold Glove?
What do you
How
mean?
Many every article the day Gold Glove finalists are announced, it's always there's always a few articles of a few different players saying they got snubbed. And the biggest one, I mean, we had a few in our own division. JBJ said he should have got a Gold Glove finalist. Kevin Kiermaier,
I could not care less about that guy.
Kevin Kiermaier said the same thing.
Don't care about him either.
The biggest one and the weirdest one was Yadier Molina trying his hardest to make me not like him.
Oh yeah, with that stuff he said, get that guy out of here, man.
He's been trying so hard to make me not like. I try to like him just because of you know how much of a veteran he is, and how great he's been for how long.
I don't like him at all.
However, he says some stupid shit. And today, not today, but when the Gold Glove finalists were announced, he says he basically came up with the conspiracy theory that the reason he wasn't nominated was because the MLB doesn't want him breaking Johnny Bench's record. Why would the MLB not want a record to get broken? The MLB wants records to get broken. wants every record to get broken every year.
Because this wouldn't even break his record. It would tie.
That
it
means
would tie it.
You're right, and that means that if they're breaking records, that means there's quality baseball on right now. The best we've ever seen, literally. So why would we not want you to get it? It's stupid. That's such a dumb theory.
He's so annoying now.
They always start with, all my respect to the people who have been nominated. So, I mean, you could say that all you want. All respect to the people who have been nominated, but I'm better than all of them in every way.
All respect to everyone, but, you know, it should be me.
He literally wrote, ask any catcher in the league. Dude.
You know who was snubbed for Gold Glove for catcher? Gary Sanchez. Respect Gary. Put some respect on his name.
Okay, here's a big into the future look. Next year, is Higashioka a finalist?
No. Higashioka is an average catcher that is... He is an above average backup catcher. He is Austin Romine, but younger.
You don't think he's that great defensively?
No, I can't say that he's that great defensively because all he is better than Gary.
True. It's not a high bar.
Which isn't saying much. I couldn't, but I was going to say I could be better than Gary at defense, but that's let's be real. That's not true.
Let's be honest.
But you can't look like Higashioka. He's not better than Yadier Molina. Molina wasn't a finalist. I'll say that. So, it's like when... How can I compare this? I don't know. But Higashioka being better than Gary should not give him a Gold Glove nod. You know?
Yeah, no, and that's not what I'm saying. What I'm not saying he should be based off what he did last year. I'm saying, or this past year. What I'm saying is, do we expect him to take the next step? And this is also assuming, I don't think so either, because there's a lot of things that would have to line up for it to happen. You would also have to assume he would play more.
And so, I think they're going to stick with Gary.
I think they're going to start with Gary, but I think there's going to be a leash.
If he gives up a pass ball in like the first inning. Actually, I think they do the same thing they did this postseason. Higgy catches Cole. Gary gets like 3 of the 5 in the rotation. And if he doesn't play well, then Higgy takes over.
All right, well, if Higgy's catching Cole, then that means Higgy's in your opening day lineup.
Yep. He's batting 9th.
So, I hate personal catchers. I hate them. Because normally, if you have a personal catcher, it's almost never that the pitcher wants to throw to that catcher. It's almost always the pitcher would rather throw to anyone else except the other guy.
Yeah.
And
But Cole likes Gary.
He says he does, but does he? Because
remember, he would like...
Oh no, he
waves him down with
poetic.
The towel.
He waxes poetically about how hard Gary works and how good he is. So, I mean, I'm not saying that he's like putting up a fake facade, but I almost kind of am, because I don't think you would want Garrett to come down and be like, "Yeah, Gary's awful. I don't want to." I don't want to throw that guy. That would be the worst case scenario.
Gary sucks. Get this guy off my team.
So, I mean, there's that. But my point being early is you'll never see a guy lose an MVP race and be like, I should have won that. It's always congrats
unless
to the
it's
guy
Judge.
He deserved it. Well, Judge literally posted a thing.
Yeah, he posted for Altuve when it happened.
Yeah. So that's my point, is they always get congratulated. But with Gold Gloves, there's always someone complaining. It happens every year. And you never remember it because it's never that notable. But
there was one Gold Glove reaction that got me a little sad, though.
What's that?
It was our boy, Masahiro Tanaka. He tweeted Gold Glove ... with two sad faces. I was like, man, he's upset. But you see, he wasn't like, I should win it. His next tweet right after was, I will continue to work hard to improve both my pitching and defense. That's how you should
Tanaka
react.
Is a great defensive pitcher.
And he's a great human being. And we should keep him, Cashman. If you're listening to this, re-sign Tanaka. Come on.
We should keep him. We should. We definitely should.
yeah,
I don't think there's anyone who thinks we shouldn't. The only question is, does he get that offer from Japan? I find it hard to believe that he could get that offer from Japan.
That was a huge offer. What was it, like $25 million a year or something?
Yeah. How could they do that?
That is a lot of money.
That'd make him like over five times more than the next highest paid player. Like that can't be happening. That cannot be happening.
I mean, we only saw that one report, and we haven't heard much about it since, right?
Yeah. So I'm hoping that's just not true. Let's move on. You know what? Well, let's save the World Series for last.
All right.
You know.
All right.
So you know what time it is?
I think I do, but let me know.
Now it's time for swag. Or not swag.
So, without Tim here, it kind of throws off our dynamic. So, I guess I'll start.
Go for it.
And this may cause some controversy, and I don't think it should at all. And my first swag or not swag is that Joe Buck is a fantastic announcer.
I'm going to go with not swag because he's just so bland in the big moments. It's hard. But he is. There could be a walk-off home run and he'll be like, here's one in the left. And that wins the game. And it's just so boring. Like, put some emotion into it. Matt Bascurian goes nuts. And he's just in this monotone voice.
It's not monotone. Dude, okay.
But he's not excited.
Yes, he gets excited. Are you crazy?
Not for most of the time.
First, okay. You know what we're going to do? Right now, I'm trying to prove my point here. I'm going to go to the walk off in game four, which we're gonna talk about. Don't worry about it. And we're gonna listen to Joe Buck's call.
And the Rays are going to ask for the biggest hit in the life of Brett Phillips. Jansen That is into center field. Here comes Kiermaier. Phillips has tied the game. A Rose Arena coming around. Throw home. Now he stumbles. But the ball gets away. Tampa Bay wins it. Brett Phillips, game four hero.
I mean, that's an excited guy.
When he tied it, he did not sound excited.
What?
He didn't. The ending, I'll give him that. Like, after Rosarena fell down, the ball got passed. All right.
Well, he's yelled. The play's not over. You can't climax in the middle. That came out kind of weird. But you can't have the peak of your call be in the middle of it. Here.
Phillips has tied the game.
That did not sound that excited. No, it didn't.
Phillips has tied the game. That's not.
But he didn't say it like that. He just said Phillips has tied the game loudly. That's not exciting.
I don't know. That's a great call. And not only to mention, there is so much he's calling there. And he didn't get confused at all. He called everything as it happened. He called...
Well, that's his job.
Okay, but just because it's his job doesn't make it easy. He called the hit into the outfield. He called the tying run. He called the stumble. And then he called the pass ball. And then he called the win. That's a lot happening.
The most I've ever heard him get excited was when the Cubs won the World Series. Like, he's never done that again.
I think you're crazy.
That's okay. I'm in the majority here.
All right. So, well, what's your swag or not swag?
My first one is, if Clayton Kershaw saves the World Series, he gets World Series MVP. Swag or not swag?
All right, and this is interesting because it's a part of a conversation I literally have written in my notes talking about the World Series, so we'll get into it more when we talk about the World Series, but can you say it again?
If he shuts the door, like, let's say... All right, so it is Monday. It's an off day today. If he comes in relief for Game 6 tomorrow on Tuesday, and he, like, gives up, like, maybe a few hits but no runs, does he get World Series MVP? Oh, he does get World Series MVP, swag or not swag.
So he gets World Series MVP if he comes in and closes the game out?
Yes.
Hold on, I'm just trying to think of everyone's performance.
You got Justin Turner, Corey Seager.
Turner's been hot. Seager's been hot.
Rosarena had a monster game, what, 4?
Yeah, but if we're assuming the Dodgers went, when's the last time a player on the opposite team has gotten the...
I have no idea.
Has that ever happened?
Losing team... MLB World Series MVP. There's only one person that ever did it.
Who was it and what year?
Bobby Richardson of the 1960 Yankees is the only player in World Series history to be named MVP despite being on the losing team.
How do you celebrate that?
You don't.
Like, you look at that trophy, I feel like you just get sad.
Yeah, it's like you did the best, but you didn't win.
You did the best anyone on the field has did, and yet it wasn't enough.
You got this trophy, but not a ring.
So, you know what? I'll say yes. I say yeah, he probably will get it. And I don't even know... Like, obviously, he has pitched very well this series, and we'll get into that. But I think it's also kind of I think the Dodgers want it to be him.
Yeah. I feel like if Justin Turner won it, he'd, like, give it to Kershaw.
Who decides it?
I don't know.
Who decides it? That's something I never even asked myself. But
the World Series Most Valuable Player was originally given by the editors of Sport Magazine starting in 1955. The award is now voted on during the final game of the World Series by a committee of reporters and officials in attendance.
So it's voted during?
During the final game. Seems, I guess, like they'll pick someone during the game tomorrow.
Yeah, like, and then if they don't, they'll do it again the next day.
Yeah.
Like if it goes to a game 7, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, like during the game? I mean, I guess you kind of have to, but.
Yeah, you don't have much time afterwards.
Yeah.
But, you know what? My swag or not swag is going to tie into it, and it's going to get us started on the World Series, but we are going to have to take an ad break in between. And that is, I'll keep it with Clayton Kershaw, and you kept it positive. I'm going to go on the other side here. And that is, let's say the game goes to a game 7.
Yep.
Kershaw comes in relief. And loses it.
That is so not swag. Oh, that hurts me.
But let's say that happens.
That is not swag at all.
That's not the question.
Okay. All right. It goes to the game 7. Kershaw loses it.
Kershaw loses it. I think the narrative will be way worse than it ever was. I mean, it looks like it's trending in the right direction, and people are kind of like giving up on the fact that he's played poorly in the world's in the playoffs. But the thing is, if he blows it in game 7, he cannot come back from it and will be forever known in his legacy as a guy who cannot pitch in the playoffs.
Like, I want to say not swag, because I don't want that to happen.
I'm not saying it will happen.
Yeah, but if that happens, that it's swag, because it's right. Like, no one will ever think of Kershaw pitching well in the playoffs, ever. They will only think he blew it in game 7.
And so I don't want it to happen.
Oh, that would suck.
I don't think it will happen, but do I think there's no chance of it happening? No, I think there is a chance.
But
if Kershaw comes in, if it goes to a game 7 and Kershaw comes in, my eyes are glued to the TV and I am not comfortable.
And like, that's gonna happen. If this series goes to 7, he will be pitching in that game. No matter what. Just like he did in 2017. He took over for Darvish and shut the door. Against the team of cheaters. Even though they were like in Dodger Stadium, right? But.
Well,
he's pitching in a game 7.
Yeah, he is. If it goes to a game 7, it's gonna go. It's gonna end up with Kershaw on the mound.
If they have a big enough lead, do you think he pitches tomorrow?
No. If they have a big lead, why would they put him in?
Just to get him that extra stuff. He'd probably want to pitch. I don't know.
No, he wouldn't. They would be. Oh, well, you say, like, big lead, well, because they would win if they have a big lead.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe they let him close it out just because. I mean, that'd be a great storyline of him just him being able to throw the last pitch of a winning World Series.
Yeah. Because, like, Dave Roberts took him out early yesterday. He threw two pitches in the sixth, got two outs. He was at 85 pitches, took him out.
And before we take an ad break, I want to mention something. For Yankees fans who are complaining that the reason we're not winning games is because we're too analytical, these are the two most analytical teams in the league.
Yep.
And you could see it with every game, because you cannot tell me that Dave Roberts didn't have that game scripted by every pitch. He had you don't take Kershaw out when you do if he didn't plan it beforehand. Because there's nothing he showed you where you're like, ah, he's going to lose it. So, just a quick little note there. But now we're going to take a break and listen to our sponsors. Come hashtag prop up on Thrive Fantasy this season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. They have eliminated the need to do countless hours of research because they only ask you about top-tier athletes in a respective sport. Choose 5 out of the 10 player prop options to build your lineup. Each prop has a fantasy point total associated with the over or under based on its likelihood to occur. The more points a selection is worth, the riskier it is. Rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool. Use promo code BOOGIE when you sign up today and you'll receive an instant match on your first deposit up to $50 with a minimum deposit of $20. Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store or by visiting their website at www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and hashtag prop up today.
You're listening to the Boogie Down Bombers podcast. Here's your hosts, Austin, Tim, and Nick.
Again, it's just Austin and Nick. Continuing with the World Series. So, when we last talked, it was middle of Game 2.
Yep.
Rays won that game and ended up tying up the series. Game 3 comes along, and it's not really much of a game. Dodgers take it pretty easily. Game 4 is one of the craziest games I've ever seen.
It was actually nuts. That whole...
Now, people are considering it... Some people are saying it's the greatest World Series game they ever saw. I think that's a bit much. I think we've literally seen better games in the past 5 years.
2017, that 13-12 game.
What about 2018, that 17-inning game?
That was 2 years ago today.
2016, the Game 7 of the World Series. I think those are all better games
than this maybe Game 4. You, in the last like 5 years, this could be Game 5 out of the top 5.
Now, if you want to... Yeah, I think you're right. Now, that's not taken away from this game. This game was unreal.
Yeah, this game was nuts, but I just think that the others were better.
Let's talk about the parts we want to talk about. And that's the ending. First off, this game had 8 half innings in a row with runs, which has never happened before in the World Series.
That's got to be like a record, right? Oh yeah,
I literally just said yeah. That. So, that tells you all you need to know with how crazy this game was. Every time one team got a lead, then the other team got a lead, and it was lead change, tied, not tied. It was insane. And then the ninth inning comes, and if you're like me, you're like, oh, the Dodgers have this.
Nah.
That's Brett Phillips.
I was not like that. Not with Kenley Jansen pitching.
And then Kenley Jansen gives up a hit. We heard the hit. I played it with the Joe Buck call. He gives up a hit, not a hard hit. And again, like, you're like, damn, they just tied it.
Yeah, that's all I thought of.
I was like, damn, they really just tied the game. This is going into extras, maybe. And then, who's in center? I can't. Oh, Taylor.
Chris Taylor.
Taylor boots it in such a weird play. Like, but whatever. Then, I think Muncy cuts it off, right? And then Muncy.
Yeah, he throws it to Muncy.
Muncy throws it to Smith.
Which, it was not a great throw.
But it should have been handled.
Will Smith definitely should have caught it, though.
He was swiping the bag before the ball was in his hand.
He tried to do two things at once.
And he didn't even have to rush because the Rosarena tripped on the way home. And but here's another thing. Kenley Jansen wasn't backing him up. At all.
Now, if Kenley Jansen is behind Will Smith, Rosarena is tagged out. Or in a rundown.
I don't think so. I think it might... he'd have to be in a, like, the position where the ball went. Which he may not have been in. But it's... At least it's closer. At least there's a play, maybe.
The whole thing was just so bad.
It's one of the most insane things ever. And that's why I don't consider it as good of a game as, like, a Game 7 of the 2016 World Series. It's because, like, yeah, it ended crazy, but it didn't end with, like, good baseball.
it ended because of really, 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 really poor defense.
It was a great game, not because of the quality of the baseball played at the end, but because of the chaos of it.
And yes.
There's room for that, obviously. It was a phenomenal game. Now, I'm going to say something that may get people a little upset, considering my fandom. Now, as a person and me right now, if you were to ask me, who do I want to win tomorrow? The Dodgers. I want them to win the World Series. However, if I'm not a Yankees fan and I don't hate the Rays, how do you not want this series to go to a Game 7?
I wanted this series to go to Game 7 from the get-go.
It's been a great series. But
the Dodgers to win.
In order for this to be like a World Series that we talk about, it's got to go to a Game 7 and it's got to be a great Game 7.
I kind of want it to be like a 1-0 game.
I know. And
give me 0-0 going into the bottom of the ninth. Do it.
What if I'm not wrong, the pitching matchup for Game 7 would be Morton Buehler.
Yes, because Gonsolin is pitching tomorrow. And so is Snell.
So that would be a fantastic pitching matchup.
You know how cool it would be for Buehler to give the ball to Kershaw? Oh my god.
It would have been even cooler if it was like the other way around, like the past to the future. Yeah. But it would still be sick.
Just give me an awesome Game 7.
Now, there's one thing that I want to play. That I don't know if you've heard. Did you hear Brett Phillips' post-game interview?
Yes.
Now, for the people who have not, get ready to take the ride of your life.
I saw Randy slip. I was like, oh, shoot, at least we tied it up. And then he missed the ball. I don't know what happened, but then he scored. And next thing I know, I'm airplaning around the outfield, and I get dogpiled, and... here I am talking to the boys. I saw.
God, I
he
hate
sounds
the
like a cool guy.
I hate the Rays, but I love Brett Phillips.
I love that some random dude is like, he's not a World Series hero, but he was a hero for a game, you know?
Dude, I was sitting in my living room watching the game, and I'm sitting there with my friend who's not a baseball fan. And I just go, Brett Phillips comes out the bat, and I go, Brett Phillips is a Ray? I didn't know he was with the Rays. I thought he was, I'm going to sound like an idiot, but I thought he was still with the Royals.
Dude, I didn't even know who he was. I forgot he existed.
How could that have happened? How could that have possibly happened? How could it have been Brett Phillips to walk off in the World Series? Now, here's my favorite thing about it. He got so excited, he started hyperventilating and needed an IV. Kevin Kiermaier was worried about him. Like, he was like, yo, dude, you all right? The dude couldn't breathe. He was so excited.
That's kind of dope.
I feel so happy for him, but God, do I hate the Rays, and God, was I mad.
You're like, good for him, but why? His middle name is Maverick?
Of course it is.
Brett Maverick Phillips.
Now, this is the kind of guy that you look at and you're like, yeah, that guy's name is Brett. Like, I don't think you see that with Brett Gardner. You see it with Brett Phillips. You're like, this guy's name is Brett.
Now, when you look at Brett Phillips, you're like, that's Brett. But when you see Brett Gardner, you're like, that's Brett. Brett. You got to have that, like, accent, like Brett, you know?
Yeah, I mean, now, here's the thing. Phillips hit that walk-off off of Kenley Jansen. Clayton Kershaw is trying to fix his narrative. Kenley Jansen's is cemented in foundation that is next to the Earth's core.
Yeah, he's not coming back.
He's not the best he's ever been. Like, his talent has depleted, so it's not going to get better from here.
Yeah, especially with his with that stuff that happened with his heart. Remember that?
Yeah. That was scary for a while.
Yeah, I was like, he might not pitch again. That's not good. I was more concerned with his life first, but
some things where you're like,
just be okay, dude.
Yeah, like, and he came back like early, and I was like, dude, what? That's not something you come back early from.
You know, just had heart surgery a few days ago. I'm back though, you know.
So, now Kenley Jansen, after Game 4, said something that maybe he shouldn't have said, but I mean, he's not wrong technically. He said he didn't give up one hard hit ball in Game 4.
Which he didn't.
Now, that's true. He's correct. However, you could lose a game off of soft hit balls.
Which they did.
Like,
Chris Taylor couldn't handle that soft hit ball.
Maybe it's because he's used to, like, giving up the home runs in the World Series. But, like, maybe he should also know that singles also count. Like,
yeah.
There's still base runners that are going to get into scoring position off of when you give up another soft hit ball.
The Dodgers' whole thing is barrels are overrated. You didn't give up a barrel and you still lost.
Now, here's the thing. Should he have... The save would have been blown because he would have given out the tying run. But he shouldn't have gotten the loss on that play. Arozarena should have been out.
That it should be an unearned run.
So I'm not saying that he wouldn't have blown it, because maybe he would have give up the lead anyway.
I think he gets the L just because, you know, that thing like he was pitching when it was tied.
So, well, he was pitching when they had the lead, so he was getting an L.
Yeah, but like you just said, you don't think he should get the L for that.
No. What I'm saying, he shouldn't have gotten the L from that play. Play shouldn't have happened. Arozarena should have been out. That's my point with what I was saying there. Now, I'm not saying that the next batter up could have hit a bomb and then same scenario. But I'm just saying I feel kind of bad that we're adding this blown save to his long list in the playoffs when it ended in a way that it shouldn't have ended, is my point. So maybe if we're being honest, he probably would have lost it anyway.
Yeah.
it probably would have happened. Now, there's one more thing that was a big question mark, and that is, why the hell was Pedro Baez in that game for so long? So he gives up a home run in the sixth, and I believe that ties it, correct? Then he comes in the seventh. In the bottom of the sixth, the Dodgers give him the lead back. And then in the seventh, he gives up the lead. And this is Dave Roberts talking about it in the postgame.
Pedro Baez, the right guy to face Lau, and then why did you leave him in for the seventh?
Yeah, you know, I just felt that Blake right there, I loved him right there, and he just wasn't sharp. And so Lau, I just loved the matchup. I just felt Petey could pick Blake up right there, and he had him 1-2 and, you know, didn't execute a pitch, made a bad pitch. And Lau put a really good swing on it. And then after that, getting out of the inning, that next inning, I take blame for having him go back out because we were down, and then I told him he was finished, and so to have him ask him to go back out and to see how he felt, he said he felt good, but you know, I shouldn't have said that and just kind of kept him burning a little bit. So he went out there and then gave up the homer to Kiermaier. So but in that run of hitters, I really felt good with Pedro.
I think there's a little
bit. Why'd you change your mind and send him back out?
Yeah, because we tied it up, and I just...
Yeah, that was my biggest question. So he tells Pedro Baez, you're done following the sixth, and then he sends him out in the seventh anyway.
You can't listen to players when they say they feel good.
It's not
in
only
situations
that,
like that.
Not only that, if you don't feel comfortable with him pitching when you're losing...
Then don't put him out there.
Don't put him out there when you're winning by one.
You think he's going to give up runs. So what are you doing?
What is the difference between pitching when you're chasing to get the lead back to when you're protecting a one-run lead? If you went up by, if you had a blow up inning and you put up a seven spot, sure, throw him back out there, get an inning out of it, save maybe one bullpen arm for the next game. But
one run lead though,
when it's run lead going into the seventh inning
in the World Series,
the Dodgers should have lost this game before the crazy stuff happened. With some of the decisions and the way it was laid out was odd.
Roberts was just, he was overmanaging.
But again, that got them to the World Series, so.
It also lost them the game, though.
True, but I mean, they have the lead in the series, do they not?
At that time, they didn't.
Yeah, but I mean,
it was tied after that game.
After that game, yeah, you're right. But and by the way, that's another big thing. Now. Is you're going from a 3-1 lead to a 2-2 tie.
Yeah,
that's a big difference.
Man, I wanted Kershaw to win the World Series in Game 5, but no, you have to have Game 6.
Maybe Game 6. We'll see tomorrow.
Well, definitely Game 6. Tomorrow's Game 6.
No, I thought you meant win it in Game 6.
Oh, no.
Never mind then. Now, we have time for one more little... This isn't really like a huge story or anything. But we saw something... I can't remember the last time we've seen, and that is Margot tried to steal home.
And I gotta watch it again.
I think he was safe.
However, was really close.
And I'm not even gonna, a lot of people are bashing it, like the decision for him to go. I'm not even mad at it. Because Kershaw, you know, he has that long wind up thing where he like puts his arm. I don't understand why he does it, but he does it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier to steal home on lefties, which is, here's the deal with stealing home, is it's got to be against a lefty. And they got to be pitching out of the windup. And those are both things that Kershaw was doing.
Yep.
Both of the Jacoby Ellsbury steals were off of lefty using a windup. It was one of us off of Pettit, and I can't remember who the other one was against. But that's generally the rule. So I am not mad at the idea of stealing home there. However, why would you steal home when there's two outs?
Yeah, the situation was a little weird to me.
That's the problem. He's
safe.
Oh, he's so safe. And did they review it? What did they see that we're not seeing here? Because his helmet falls off.
And he tags the helmet.
He tags the helmet. I don't know how
he was safe. Wow.
Yeah, he was definitely safe. But it is what it is. And it worked out better for us.
Yeah, I'm happy he wasn't safe, but wow, he was safe.
But you know, it is what it is. So, thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next episode, where we will be talking about the end of the World Series and hopefully celebrating a Dodgers victory. So thank you guys for listening. Nice. Go Yankees, and temporarily, go Dodgers.
Go Yankees. Go Dodgers. Garrett Cole's a New York Yankee.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at BoogiePod and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.